Okay, we're talking about baptism. All right, Romans chapter 6. There we go. Anyway, I had that background a little bit of church, but then it came to, well, is church going to save me? Is church going to get me to heaven? No. And I looked around. I had friends that were Pentecostal, somebody that was Brethren, and I knew a pastor that was Baptist, and knew all these different, and I'm thinking, like, what's what? My best friend was Roman Catholic at that time, and he had an uncle that was a priest, so right there in that town, and something like, okay, what's what? But I found out that it's a personal relationship between me and God. People say religion's personal. Yes, it is. You've got to make a personal decision, a choice, to not rest on what you can do to get to heaven, but on what Jesus Christ did for you. And so I realized that he died for me. And if I could get to heaven by being a good person, I'd be able to get up in heaven and pat myself in the back. I made it. I was good. But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Jesus died. Why did he die? Most Protestants, Catholics know that he died. You know, we go to church twice a year, you know, Christmas and Easter. And we say, oh, well, he died. Well, he died for us, so that's the way to get to heaven. And that's the key. So, what is baptism then? Why be baptized? It's not a requirement to get to heaven. Think about the thief on the cross. You know, he looked over, he's up there, he's nailed to the cross. He's in pain. He realized he was a sinner. He looked over at Jesus, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Jesus said, verily say to thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He couldn't get down off of there and get baptized. So, it's not a requirement of salvation. It's simple faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to realize there's nothing we can do. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Amen. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. We think of John the Baptist. Why was he called that? When he came along, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he's baptizing all these people. You know, I always envision it. Because I saw the movie, you know, Charlton Heston's in there, you know, in his, camel hair suit, and, you know, baptizing people, but they call him the Baptist because he was baptizing. It was a name that was given. And that's really where we get our name from as a church. Not the liberty part. That was something I picked. But Baptist church. Why are we a Baptist church? Originally, that was the name that was given. Way back, thousands of years ago. About 2,000 years ago. And they saw people baptizing. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were Christ-like, and so people saw them. What a wonderful name that is. Christ, you know. But then what happened, and then the Catholic Church started baptizing or sprinkling people and christening them, and when they came out of the Catholic Church, if they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they came to some small little church, maybe it was out in the sticks somewhere meeting under a tree, but then they would take them and baptize them in obedience to the Scriptures by immersion in water, and then the people were looking at that, and they called them Anabaptists, meaning re-baptizing them. And so then, after a while, just became Baptist, but because of what they did. And many of us Baptist churches, are we really Baptist churches if we don't baptize anybody? But we need to. Now, John the Baptist was called that. And so a definition, very simply, is immersion. If we look at what we just read here, in verse 4, speaking about baptism, it says, we're buried with him by baptism into death. It's a symbol. There's a little bit of symbolism here, because I am showing with a good conscience, trusting and obeying, that I am accepting Jesus Christ. Now, God could have said, I want you to take out a big ad in the paper and say, I became a Christian. I got saved. Or he could have said, you know, go stand in the tallest building, get a megaphone and say, I just got saved. Could have done that. I asked Jesus in my heart. But he says, no, what I want you to do is be baptized. And over here, it's no big deal. I mean, you can get baptized, nobody's going to. But some countries, the minute you get baptized, it means you're death. Back in 4th century, the 300s, they had a church going on, big bunch of people meeting, no building, but they were meeting, and some teenagers that had some backbone, and they went to this church service, but here was the religious crowd, I didn't say the saved crowd, the Christian crowd, But the religious crowd, same ones that gave Jesus a hard time, was always the religious crowd. But they told these teenagers, because it was baptism day, they're supposed to get baptized. And I forget how many, about 100 teenagers were going to get baptized outside, pond, creek, whatever the body of water was. And the religious crowd was there with the authorities, and they said, you get baptized, you come out of that water, you'll be killed. 100 teenagers decided to have a little bit more backbone than the ones we have today. They're going to listen to Amy Grant and all that kind of stuff. They decided, we're going to take our stand for Jesus. They went in that water knowing that by identifying themselves with Jesus Christ, that meant their death sentence. And they did it. Talk about some people with some backbone. Talk about some people that took a stand. Where is that today? Well, some countries we still have it. Sometimes we have it here. But sometimes people are dying for what they believe in North Korea and the Sudan and so on, different places of the world, China. But it's somebody that's willing to take a stand. So here, verse 4, they were buried. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together. See, buried, planted, we get the symbol, we get the idea of what that means, baptism. It means to be under. In the likeness of his death, when we're baptized, it seems like an odd thing to do. But what does it show? It's showing the death, the burial, right? The person's in the ground. But then raised in the likeness of his resurrection, because we don't serve a dead Savior. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He's alive. And we serve a risen, living Savior. So that's basically the definition. And what is the directive, or the command, if you will? Well, we're supposed to preach, baptize, teach. Somebody had said, very simply, win them, wet them, work them. Let's look at the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. That's the goal. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Right after Jesus, the ascended, risen Lord, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So, all power is given. Now, verse 19, the last two verses of the book of Matthew. Go ye, plural. Okay, it's not just the pastor or somebody. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not the end of the age, the end of the world. Notice that. We don't want to change that. But he says, teach and then baptize. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to go out and do. And then, you know, to observe all, teaching them afterwards, to observe all. There's an order. That's the directive. Look over at the book of Mark, right at the end as well. Mark 16. Verses 15 and 16. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So here's the directive. This is Jesus speaking now to the believers, to the church. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not too many Christians are doing that these days. I was reading about those missionaries that were released that were in Afghanistan. Was that where it was? The South Koreans. They were. I don't know where. Were they Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever they were? And they were released. And but they said that country. And they said, well, we're going to go somewhere again. But I haven't heard a lot about that on the news. But what they were saying, you know, I found it on the internet. But how they took their stand for Jesus Christ. How they were treated and mistreated and different things and how they tried to force them to become Muslim and different things and how they did kill the one guy. I believe he was the pastor. Why do they always go for the pastor, you know? Like, couldn't they just go for some deacon or something? Or, you know? But they killed the pastor because he refused to convert. You know? I mean, what a way, you know? Like, convert to Islam or we'll kill you, you know? But anyway, Jesus said here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody reads that, says, aha, see, you have to be baptized to be saved. No, because read the next part of that same verse, read it in context. It says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's not the one that's not baptized. It's the one that doesn't believe and trust in Jesus Christ. So it's believing in Jesus Christ that is what we need for salvation. So there is the directive. Although we're Baptists, we don't believe you need to be baptized to get to heaven. Then we have the Now, I tried to alliterate this, make it all in D's. I think, is that what you call alliteration? I don't know. Definition, the directive, and then delineation or demarcation. I spent half my sermon preparation on thinking of the right word here. But I don't usually do that. But to delineate or to have a demarcation, a difference. Okay, who gets baptized? So you can forget that D word. Just who? The question is, who gets baptized? Who is supposed to be baptized? Well, basically, it's the new Christian. The order we have to given to the church is to go out and preach, and then baptize, and then teach. Okay, it says you believe, and you're baptized. That's the order. Now, I said I was christened as a baby. My parents said, when it came to I was 20, I got saved, and I asked Jesus Christ in my heart. I knew what my sins were gone. I knew I was on my way to heaven. I thought, okay, the people told me you need to be baptized. What the Christians told me, said, don't believe us, believe the Word of God. Chapter and verse. Now, that was great grounding for me as a new Christian. And they said, you know, don't let anybody tell you something unless it's in the Bible, unless they show you from the Bible, or look it up yourself. So I said, all right, you know, they tell me I need to get baptized. Well, they showed me some verses, obviously, it makes sense. And I thought, well, okay. I went home, I told my parents, I said, well, I'm going to get baptized. Well, it was okay to go to church, get a little bit of religion, you know, keep you out of trouble, you know, get some morals, that was good. But, oh, hold on a second, now you're rejecting our religion. And, you know, you were baptized. Well, then my parents felt that I couldn't, they couldn't really take the Bible and show me how the Lutheran church, the Protestant church, was correct. But if there was a Lutheran minister here, we lived in a small town, there's no Lutheran church, and if there was a Lutheran minister, he would show you. Well, I was naive, you know. I thought, well, okay. So I said my best friend was a Catholic. And I talked to him about it. And I was trying to tell him how to trust in Jesus Christ. And he was very open, came to some of our Bible studies. And so he said, well, you know, my uncle's a priest. Why don't we go talk to him? I said, okay. So he made an appointment. Well, the night before that, I got a concordance which shows where all the verses are on baptism. I looked up every one. I wrote them all down. To plant, to bury, you know, come up out of the water. All these verses. And I wrote them all down. Now, I'm a new believer. You know, I'm not some college-educated person. I'm 20 years old. You know, this priest has been to school for years and years. He's been a priest for, you know, probably longer than I was alive at that time. And so I said, all right, I met him. I said, how you doing? I didn't want to call him father, but Papino was his name, and Priest Papino. So, sat there, my friend Ron there, and he was very nice. And I just said to him, I said, well, here's what the Bible says on baptism. And I told him what my mom said and everything. So I figured if I went to see a priest, you know, I mean, they believe in sprinkling the babies, just like the Lutherans do. So, there must be some connection there. And I went over every verse. And I said, this is my understanding. If you think I'm wrong, correct me. And he just sat there patiently, listened to all of it. And I thought, being naive, I thought he was going to take his Bible out and show me something. He didn't even have a Bible. And he just said, well, that's all well and good. But what you need to understand is, that's what the Bible says, but there's also what the church says. So I said, okay. I pretty much made up my mind at that point, but I was still going to be nice. He said, you know, the church, I mean, the stuff in the Bible, some stuff more important than others. You need the church to tell you what's more important and how to interpret the Bible and all that. Well, I learned that the Bible is my final authority. Amen. Okay, now if somebody comes along and says, well, they're equal. That's what he said, they're equal. But if the church can tell you that the Bible says, then the church is the final authority, not the Word of God. And so I just, inside I said, all right, I hear you, but I don't believe you. I believe the Bible. I'm getting baptized. And then I decided, all right, why not go for this? I said, and you know, in Matthew chapter 29, I believe it's verse 9, 23 verse 9, it says, call no man father. I said, don't they call you father, Papino? You know, I just let them kind of come up with some answer. And I went out of there, and I don't know what that did to my friend, you know, who sees his uncle not able to take the Word of God, you know, and defend himself, you know. Just amazing. But we need to go by the Word of God. So who gets baptized? It's the new believer. Now, I don't want to go into this too much, but why did Jesus get baptized? Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Sometimes that's a big argument. We know he did, but different reasons, and I'm going to be very brief on this. But Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in its fulfilled prophecy, in verse 3, we see that. Talks about what he was wearing, what he ate. And verse 4, went out in Jerusalem and so on. And people were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And then, oh, here comes a religious crowd. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were the religious people of the day, they came to his baptism, he said to them, "O generation of vipers," that's not very nice, "who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So they came, and they thought, oh, let's go check this out. He says, "I'm not baptizing you guys. You know, you're a bunch of vipers." They were the religious crowd. Vipers or snakes. And then he says in verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." What does that mean? Well, show a change in your life. Show that, you know, you've done some. Show some humility and show that I'm coming. Because the others, what were they doing? Baptized? They were confessing their sins. I'm a sinner. You know, that's the hardest thing for people to do, to admit. They're a sinner sometimes because of pride. We're enveloped in pride and we can't... I'm not that bad. Look, I mean, that mass murderer, they're bad. That Hitler character, he's a bad guy, not me. I mean, I go to church. You know, I mean, I've given money to the poor. I went to church once 3 weeks in a row. And come on now. Even on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, I had the little thing in my ear, you know, pastor asked me the score after the game, you know, you know, we do those kind of things. Some people do. But here, all those excuses are going to be null and void when it comes time to stand before God. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Show that you are repentant, sorrowful for your sin. Realize the Bible says our sin takes us to hell. It says the wages of sin is death. You say, well, that's terrible for those people. No, that's you and me. That's everybody. "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, and when those people get saved, they need to get baptized. And that's what happened. So he says here in verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I," this is John the Baptist talking, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Okay, that's the immersion again. And then he says, it says in verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open." I wouldn't get in water and just to get all wet if somebody was going to sprinkle me on the head. Okay, I wouldn't do that. It was baptism by immersion. "Then the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There we see the Trinity. The Son, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. All three are God. Now, why did Jesus get baptized? Well, he says in verse 15, in his own words, "It becometh to fulfill all righteousness." So that's number one, just because it's the right thing to do. It's fulfilling all righteousness. But also, Jesus was showing, remember what it symbolizes, the death, burial, and resurrection. He was showing what was going to happen to him three and a half years later, the end of his ministry, that he was going to die, and he was going to be buried, and that he rose again. That's the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. To show what was going to happen to him. Then we have the declaration. We have the definition, the directive, the delineation or demarcation, and then now the declaration as a last point. And that's in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Just to catch you up to where I'm going to be at verse 35. Here's Philip. You might call him the evangelist of the church. He went out in the wilderness. And not where all the people were, but that's where God sent him. Well, who are you going to find in the wilderness? Well, here comes the Ethiopian eunuch, and he had stopped his chariot. He has part of the Bible from Isaiah, and he's reading it. And Philip said, you know, the Holy Spirit says, you know, go over there, talk to him. And he goes up, and Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You get what you're reading. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So they sat in their chariot. And it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. It's Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So that's what he read. And then it says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? So here's a guy reading Isaiah 53 and desiring to know, who's he talking about? I like this next verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We don't know what all it says. What he said to him. All we know is that he preached unto him Jesus. Okay, that's all we know that's given to us here at this point. And it says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So he's preaching to him Jesus. He gets to a body of water. Whatever it is, it's a body of water. Lake, river, stream, creek, I don't know. Some body of water. But he says, see, here is water. Pretty basic, pretty simple. What's keeping me from getting baptized? What doth hinder me from being baptized? He had a desire to be baptized. Now here's the key verse, and I hope it's in your Bible because it's taken out of most of the new ones. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Does that sound like believer's baptism? Believing in Jesus Christ, then you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, just in case, you know, you think, oh, did he get it right or wrong? The next verse says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So that was what... So how did this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, know that he needed to be baptized? Well, it must have been... Now, it's a little bit of speculation, but I think you can read into it. He either there's only a couple of options, because he must have heard about it somehow. And why would he want to get baptized after he's just been preached Jesus? One, that he heard about other Christians doing it. Number two, Philip, when he's preaching unto him Jesus, talked about that and used it as an illustration. And he said, so what happens is when you, and preaching the verse, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Probably using that as an illustration, say, so when you ask Jesus in your heart, God then wants you, out of a step of obedience, to show that you believe in Him and you trust in Him. He wants you to get baptized, and it's a death, burial, and resurrection. And then you're supposed to live for God. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He's preaching to him all these verses. And Philip says then, okay, well here's water. What's keeping me from, I'm paraphrasing, what's keeping me from getting baptized? He says, basically, I want to be baptized. What's keeping me from it? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, they went down into, he said, I do, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. That is the declaration, I believe. Not just that I believe Jesus existed, he says, if you believe with all your heart. And that's where he trusted. He realized that he was a lost sinner. Now, history tells us that shortly after this, it's not recorded in the Bible, but history tells us that shortly after this event, we imagine this guy went back down there, back home to Ethiopia. There was a revival in Ethiopia. This guy went back and started a revival. Well, God did, but he was the vessel, yes, that God used. So obviously, when he preached unto him Jesus, he told him about it. Now, I wonder if anybody's here today, say, you know, I don't know, is it good to get baptized? Should I get baptized? Maybe you're a Christian and you've never been baptized. You need to be baptized. Okay? Don't do it because I tell you. Do it because God speaks to your heart. You know, I don't mind, you know, get saved and baptized same day. That's wonderful. But really, you know, I like to see people say, I want to get baptized. You know, I don't want to you know, to force you or, you know, twist your arm. Jack Hiles one time was in another country, I forget where, somewhere in the Caribbean, and he was a question and answer. All these pastors were there. And he said, "Brother Hiles, question for you. What is your method for baptizing people?" And he said, "Oh, my method is we wait till the person has made a decision for Christ, he's trusted Christ, then we watch them for a number of weeks. And we watch and see if it took. And then we have a meeting with the elders, and we bring this person's name up, and we see, do you think we should baptize this person?" And we vote on it. And he said, "Then if it's a positive thing, we go to him, we tell him, you know, we think you should be baptized, and then we go and do it." That's what Jack Howell said in answer to this question. That person said, "Really? Oh, I didn't know that's what you did." He said, "Oh, no, that's not what we do. You asked me my method. That's my method. But we don't use my method. We use the Bible method. And the Bible says that when they're saved, they were baptized." And in the book of Acts, we see, you know, Acts chapter 2, the same day they were baptized, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So do we want to use our methods, or do we want to use the Bible methods? You know, basically, you know, as soon as possible. I remember Dennis Quarle, an evangelist, he said he came to a church probably like ours. That's why I'm reluctant to have him here, because of this story. He said, "I was hard on this young preacher, but they're praying for people to get saved." And he says, "Okay, are you trusting for God to save somebody?" "Yes." He said, "Well, what about if they want to get baptized?" "Well, we'll make plans for it, and we'll..." He said, "So you don't think anybody's going to get saved?" And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, if you want people to get saved and baptized, you better get a tank in here and get ready to do it." He said, and he let him have it. And so I thought, well, I'll just wait to have Brother Coral come and preach for us. But you know, that is true. Are we expecting it? Now, the key thing here in this verse, we said, if you believe, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. How do we know we believe with all our heart? First, we have to come to realization. It's one thing to believe in our head, but we've got to believe in our hearts. That's the key. All our hearts. You know, I believe, like I already mentioned, Hitler. I believe he existed. I'm not trusting in him for anything. I believe Napoleon existed. I'm not trusting in him. You know, I believe all kinds of people existed throughout history, but I don't trust in them. And a lot of people say, "I believe in Jesus." But it's a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. We say they miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from their head to their heart. But it says here, you know, we need to come to a knowledge of our sin and that Jesus died for that sin, right? The Bible says we're all sinners. Say, "Well, I'm not too bad." Well, we go through the Ten Commandments, right? We say, "Have you ever told a lie?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guilty. Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Probably. And maybe you say, "Oh, I'm, you know, not in years." Well, there's been some time. And it's the most common thing to say now. You listen to radio or TV. You know, somebody wins something. What's the first thing? "Oh my!" You know, they say it. That's in vain. God says, "I will not hold him guiltless which taketh his name in vain." One of the Ten Commandments. Okay, well, that's only 2 out of 10. You know, then we have, "Did you ever steal anything?" "Well, no, I never stole a car or anything like that." No. It's not the size of the thing that matters. You know, if you steal a pen. Okay, that's a really nice pen. I mean, he won't miss it. He's got like 1,000 of them over in his house. And, I like this one, you know. I'll just take it. And when we do that, what does that make us? A thief. All right? How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? You don't become a liar after your 1,000th lie. You tell one lie, it makes you a liar. How many banks do you have to rob to be a bank robber? One. You don't have to, "Hey, I'm not a bank robber. I only robbed one bank." You know. So how many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? Really one, but we've committed many. Many, many sins. You know, the Bible says about adultery. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But then we say, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Okay, well, how many is that now? Not even half of them. And we're probably guilty of all. And, you know, and then Jesus made it even worse. He said, if you're guilty of one, you've broken all of them. Oh, even that really gross one over? Yeah, that one too. How about, that awful sin? Yeah, that one too. Boy, that makes me pretty bad. So I am a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned. And I tell people, I'm not pointing my finger at you because I got 3 pointing back at myself. But you know what? Bible says God's concluded us all under sin. So, here I am a sinner. Now, I have to come first to the point that I realize I'm a sinner. Secondly, I got to realize that Jesus died for my sin. Isaiah 53, which, you know, this Ethiopian eunuch was reading. All right? Now, I get to the point where I realize I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. What now? He says, thou believest with all thine heart. The little illustration I've used before. It's about trust. Okay? I believe that this chair will hold most of my weight. Okay? I'm heavier than I used to be, but I still think it might hold most of my weight. Now, if I trust just a little bit, I'm still trusting. My feet are on the ground. I'm still holding on here. Okay, I'm resting a little bit. I am not putting my full weight on this chair. But it's... So I'm not trusting with all my heart that this chair is going to hold me. All right, now, you know, maybe it's like trusting Christ. Well, I'll grab Jesus and I'll believe in Jesus, but I still... Church membership, baptism, all these things, works to get to heaven. But I'm still trusting in Jesus. It's not good enough. It's got to be all to Jesus. Everything, trusting in Jesus. Your whole heart. There's nothing else. My good works can't save me. When I stand before God, and he says, why should I let you into heaven? Well, God, I was a Baptist preacher. I pastored a church. I even gave to the missionaries. I mean, we could have gone on a trip or had a better car if I didn't give that money. But I gave it to that missionary. Well, I never killed anybody. I never did these bad things. And what's God going to say? Depart from me, I never knew you, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, I don't want him to say that. So I said, well, you know, I believed in you. I trusted in you. He says, but you didn't do it with your whole heart. Not 100%. So what I need to do is trust. Not 99.9%. Still have my feet on the ground. But I need to. Look at that. It's holding. I am trusting this chair right now because my feet are off the ground. I'm not touching anything else. My whole weight is upon this chair. I am trusting 100% that chair is going to hold me. And even greater than that, I trust 100% that Jesus Christ is going to take my sins away. He paid for them. He shed his blood on the cross. Take me to heaven. And that's it. I trust in that. Nothing else. None of my good works. Because all our works are as filthy rags before God. All our righteousness. All our, you know, all that we can do. And that's almost more of an insult to God if we say, my church membership is going to take me to God. Because you're saying, I don't need you, God. I can get there myself. But no, it's through Jesus Christ who died for me. I need to trust in him. And when we believe 100%, and I believe these two gentlemen that are going to be baptized, they're trusting in Jesus Christ with their heart. All their heart. They're not trusting anything else. You say, well, I know something about one of these guys, and they're not the greatest little, you know, they sinned, yes. You know, Christians aren't perfect, just forgive them. And that's the key. Jesus Christ took our sin, past, present, and future. What a wonderful thing. And it's not up to me to keep it. You know, if I sinned today, if I sin tomorrow, I need to confess and have a right relationship with him, but I'm still forgiven. I'm still saved. Once saved, always saved. He said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I wonder if you're here this morning. He said, I don't know if I die right now, if I go to heaven. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. You need to get that settled. You need to make sure that you know for sure you're going to heaven. It's very simple. There's nothing magical about a little prayer you can just say. But in your heart, you need to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart to save me from my sins. I know you died on the cross for me. And I'm asking you to save me from my sins. Save me from hell. And I now trust Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you one more verse. And if you do that, the Bible says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you have believed in the name of the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, in verse 9 here, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, where? In thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. We ask your blessing on those to be baptized. We ask you to bless each person that's here today. And I pray, Father, that you'd encourage Christians. If there's somebody here that's saved and trusting you, you'd show them their need of baptism. Lord, I pray also that if there's somebody here and they don't know where they'd spend eternity. Lord, there's no promise that we'd be here tomorrow, from the youngest to the oldest. But Lord, you just pray that you would show us how important it is to settle this matter with you. It's not becoming a Baptist. It's not joining a church. It's not even baptism. It's simple faith in Jesus Christ and his finished works on the cross. I pray, Father, someone here that hasn't done that, that they would just right now ask you to come into their heart and just pray a simple prayer in their heart to you. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I am asking Jesus Christ to come and cleanse me from my sin and save me. Lord, I pray that they would do that and that they would tell somebody. And Lord, we just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.